last year to this very same chevra on the halachas of the 3 weeks and in 9 days. So I decided to do something else different that we haven't done yet. You could listen back to that one again if you want to hear what I would have given, but I'd rather not repeat myself. So, what I thought we would talk about is a very interesting halacha that we all sort of know about, but it's studying the actual halachos will probably shed a new perspective on it, and that is the halachos of Bikur Cholim. Bikur Cholim, the Rambam says, is in a certain sense Medivrehem, but it is a fulfillment of the Havtel Recha Kamocha. If Rachman Litzlan, we were to be sick, we would want to be visited, and then likewise, we should do the same thing for others. And if we look at the Gemara, we find two aspects of the mitzvah that are stressed. And this could be seen in two stories. The Gemara says in Nedarim, Ma'isa b'talmid echad mitalmidei Rabbi Akiva shechala. There was once a student of Rabbi Akiva that got sick. Lo nechnesu chachamim l'vachgro. The chachamim, maybe that means his fellow students or the other sages, didn't go to visit him. V'nichnas Rabbi Akiva l'vakro. Rabbi Akiva did go and visit him. U'v'shvil shekibdo v'rivtzo l'fanav chaya. Because of the care that Rabbi Akiva gave him, he cleaned up and he helped him and the like, so this fellow lived. Amar lo, Rabbi, hechi yisani, said Rabbi, you caused me to live. Yatzra Rabbi Akiva v'darsh, Rabbi Akiva went out and he taught, anyone who does not do Bikur Cholim, it is as though they have murdered. So this aspect of Bikur Cholim is the idea that when we visit someone who's sick, we could help care for them. They might need something, we can help them. And that is the first aspect of Bikur Cholim, that which we could do to care for them. And this is something that is very relevant nowadays, because even when, for example, we're visiting someone in the hospital, so many aspects of their care are being taken care of by professionals, their nurses and the like, but still, I've often found that seeing what they need and offering to help, there's still a lot to be done, whether sometimes people are embarrassed to call the nurse, they might need something, or just by being there, first of all, sometimes the medical staff will see that they're being visited and also pay them more attention. All sorts of very valuable things that you could do. You could still care for them, help them in a way that they may not be otherwise taken care of. And certainly when you visit someone not in the hospital, this is true. Then we have another story. Kiyasa Rav Dimi Amar Kolam Vaker Esachola Gorem Lo Sheyechya. Anyone who visits a sick person causes him to live. Anyone who doesn't visit causes them to die. My grandma, what does that mean? How do you cause him to die? If you say it means that anyone who visits a patient, visits someone who's sick, prays that he should live, so if you visit someone, if you don't visit someone, you don't pray for them to die. So rather, what does this mean? Rather, this means El Kol She'en Mevaker Chola, En Mevaker Shalav Rachamim. Anyone who doesn't visit the sick person will not pray for them. And if you do visit the sick person, you will pray for them and cause them to live. So here we have a second aspect of the mitzvah, and that is when you visit a sick person, you pray for them. Now you might say, well, I could pray for them even if I don't visit them. There are all sorts of lists of cholim, and you could pray every day, and shmon esrei, and the like, and of course that's true. Of course, you don't need to go to visit the patient in order to pray for them. But there's no doubt as well that there's an advantage to praying when you're there, for a couple of reasons. Number one, we'll see shortly that the Shekhinah rests upon the Chola when you daven, when you visit, so then you are praying b'makom Shekhinah. But I think more importantly, when you go ahead and you see someone who's sick, so you're going to pray with much more kavana than if you just know of a person and know that they're sick. Actually seeing them in that state that of sickness, of weakness, so that inspires a person to daven in a way that they certainly otherwise would not have done. Reminds me of a famous story of Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. During the Yom Kippur War, so many of the American students in the Mir were leaving. So Reb Chaim said, you know, I understand if you leave, but don't think that, well, it doesn't matter if I'm here or I leave, because either way I'll pray for you. Because you're never going to pray the same way if you leave versus if you're in the bomb shelter as the bombs are falling. It's not true. And likewise, the kavana that you have when you actually see someone sick will be totally different than just awareness that there is the sick person or even speaking to them on the phone. So far, we see two aspects of Bikur Cholam. The first one is actually caring for them. And the second one is praying for them. Now, just a parenthetical point. What does what is the meaning of the word levaker cholam, bikur cholam? What does bikur mean? It's not a test, don't worry.
No, I'm thinking. It doesn't mean to visit.
Bikur. Think of bikoret. Right? I'll give you some
judging?
Sukkim. Yeah, almost. Here's a pasuk in Yechezkel. Hineni ani vidarashti etzoni uvikartim. Or, another pasuk you all know, kivakaras roe edro, biyom heoso besoch sono. What does that mean?
To like separating?
No. To examine, to check, exactly. That's correct. To check on them. And to see, and this fits very much with what we were saying, to see if they need anything, is there something that you could do for them, both physically and, of course, in terms of prayer. So, what's the ikkar? We said that from the Gemara we see two aspects of the mitzvah, the aspect of taking care of them and the aspect of praying for them. So Rav Moshe says, it doesn't make sense to ask what the ikkar is, because you have to do both. The halacha is that if you just visit without praying, you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah. That's what the Ramban says. So, obviously, taking care of their physical needs is also ma'akev. So, that being the case, since you have to do both, how could you really talk about what's the ikkar? But it is interesting that if you look at some of this farm, they focus on one over the other. For example, the Chachmas Adam focuses, he writes, ikkar mitzvah speaker cholam, shivakesh alav rachamim. The ikkar is the prayer. If you look at the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, he says, Ikar mitzvah speaker cholam, la'ayin b'tzarche ha'chole, ma'atzarech lasos lo. So it's interesting that different svarim present both possibilities in terms of what's the ikkar. But I think that though it's not stated explicitly in the Gemara, there's really a third aspect to the mitzvah, which is the aspect of friendship. Meaning to say that the first two things you could do with a stranger, you could do it even without their knowing that you were there. You could go ahead, obviously, to find out what they need. It's easier to actually ask them. But you could go ahead, let's say they're sleeping, and you visit them, and you see that they might need something, so you bring it to them, you pray for them. But that's certainly a great mitzvah. But there's another aspect of the mitzvah, and that's the friendship, the reus. Even when there's nothing you could do, because they don't need anything, they're totally being taken care of. Their feeling that you're there for them, that's something that makes a difference as well. And one place where you actually see this maybe in an interesting context is in the Rama, in the Darkei Moshe, The Rama writes, very interesting discussion, B'tshuvas Maharil, it says in the Tshuvas Maharil, D'sone yachol levaker, sono hacholem. Let's say you have two enemies, you could still visit each other, mitzvah biker cholem. V'linir ad aser, v'chein muchach b'sanhedrin, perkoin gadol, l'ni nichom aveilim. I think it's aser. Just like we find in the context of nichom aveilim, comforting the bereaved, D'sone aser l'nachem aveilim, v'adin l'viker cholem. So, what's this debate? So perhaps the Maharil sees the primary aspects as practical. Practically, you could take care of his needs. Yeah, even if you hate each other. Practically, could you pray for him? Yes, even if you hate each other. But is it going to make him feel good, your presence? No, because he's going to be aggrieved. He's going to be annoyed when he sees his enemy. He's going to think his enemy's laughing at him or something like that. But, and what the Rama is saying is that there's this aspect of a friendship, of closeness, when you go ahead and you visit someone when they're down, when they're sick, even if they're not technically sick. And that's another aspect of the mitzvah. And perhaps another place where you see this is in a very interesting way. The Shach says the following. The Shach says, it's not 100% clear that he means this, but I think he might mean it. This is the way some Achronim understand him. That what is better, Nichom Aveilim or Bikur Cholim? Which mitzvah is better? So the Rambam writes, I think that Nichom Aveilim is a greater mitzvah. Why? Because Nichom Aveilim, you're doing chesed in Machayim and the Mason, and Bikur Cholim, you're only doing chesed with the Chayim. Now, what does that mean? It's actually a very fascinating idea, because we don't think of Nichom Aveilim that way. We think of Nichom Aveilim as a chesed with the bereaved. Somebody's mourning, you visit them. Who are you doing the favor to? The living person. You're helping them feel better, hopefully. Comforting the bereaved. But the halacha is that in Nichom Aveilim, you're also doing a chesed with the mace. What does that mean? So, it's hard to understand this idea, but Chazal tell us that it's a very painful experience for the body to separate from the soul. And when one does Nichom Aveilim, they're comforting the soul for its separation from the body. And in fact, you see this halacha manifested in a very practical way. The halacha is that if someone dies and they have no relatives, nobody's there to actually sit shiva, there's no aveilim, one still makes a shiva call. The halacha is that they get 10 people to sit in his haum, and then people go ahead, certainly if he died there, and people go and visit them. And there's a story in the Gemara about how they once did this, and the mace came back to someone, one of the Chachamim in a dream, and said, you comforted me. And we do this. I remember not too long ago, several months ago, there was a fellow in the Heights, and an old single guy who passed away, and he didn't have anyone to sit shiva for him. But we went, and we made a minyan in his house, and we did, as it were, Nichom Aveilim, the mitzvah of Nichom Aveilim, even though there were no Aveilim. And that's because Nichom Aveilim is a mitzvah to comfort the Chaim and to comfort the Mason and to comfort the Mason. So therefore, the Rambam says, I think that Nichom Aveilim is a bigger mitzvah. Makes sense. But the Shach implies that's only true if you have someone else to care for the Chola. Someone else is going to be doing Bikur Cholam anyway, and his practical needs are cared for, so then we say Nichom Aveilim is greater. Why? Because it's Chesed HaMachayim and Chesed HaMeisim. But if there's no one else there to visit him, so then, of course, Bikur Cholam comes first. Now, what's the idea? The idea is what we were saying before, which is that there are two aspects of Bikur Cholam. One, the first one is practical. One A is practical, take care of his physical needs. One, be as practical, you pray for him. But then there's two. Two is the friendship. With respect to that aspect, we say Nicham Avelim is greater. Because there, it's Im HaChaim Im HaMesim, whereas Bikur Cholim is only with the Chaim. But if you have that first dimension of taking care of the needs, so then that will come first, because it has those two aspects. Anyway, so those are the two aspects that are part of the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. Parenthetically, on the point of Bikur Cholim to someone who you don't like, so there's a very interesting medrash. Amar Rav Yochanan, Kol mi shehu mevaker cholim ma'avirin mimenu echad mishishin b'chol yom. Anyone who does Bikur Cholim, so when you're mevaker the cholim, you take away 1/60th of the sickness. Mishen mevaker lo mosifin lo echad mishishin. If you don't visit him, so it's added 1/60th of the sickness. He gets worse. Amar Rav Abba, im kiminei de Rav Yochanan, yaskun legabe bish, shisin b'nei ansha, the yaskun lay. So therefore, if someone is sick, so you get 60 people, and they can get rid of the choli entirely. Amr lay, right? Each person takes away 1/60th. Amr lay, uvelvaj, you owe of him also, kenafsham, but only if they love him like themselves. Da'afal pichain, even if that it happens, marvichin lo. In other words, even if they don't love him so much, they can't take away a full 1/60th of his sickness. I always thought the answer is simpler because they take away 1/60th of what's left. They'll never go down to zero. But anyway, what it says is that, yes, there is this idea that a visitor can take away once, you know, make the chola get better, take away 1/60th, whatever exactly that means. But that's if they love each other. If Ovin Kanafsho, even if there's no love, so it helps. But Eino Doma, if they love, and the idea might be, like we were saying, that besides the practical elements of Bikur Cholim, that anyone could do, but then there is, not to say it's easy, it's hard, but then there's that relationship aspect, and it's that relationship aspect that really helps the person get better. We shouldn't just think that if we take care of his physical needs and we pray for him, that's enough. It's to be there for him. It's the friendship aspect. It's the reyus. It's the ahava. That's what really helps the person get better. And a lot of times people think, it's all about the medicine and the medical treatment. That's what's going to make a person better. Or somebody else might be very firm. He's going to say, it's all about davening. That's what makes the person better. Those are all important. But what this medrash is saying is, you know what else it is? It's the ahava. It's the reyus. Person feels good about themselves because he knows that they have, they know they have friends that love him or her, and that care for her and him and the like. That's what's going to make the biggest difference in a certain sense. So now we'll start going through with some of the halachos in the Shulchan Aruch, and we'll talk about some of the issues that come up. So Sif Aleph, this is Simon Shin Lamed Hei, Mitzvah Levaker Cholim Hakrovim. Those closest, if somebody gets sick, those closest to this patient come immediately. Verchokim, those who are more distant, not necessarily the relatives or the best friends, so they wait a little bit. Achar shlosha yamin. They wait after 3 days. But in kafatzalaf acholi, if things are looking bad, so then Elu ve'elu nechnasim miyad. You don't wait. Nobody should wait. You don't want to lose the opportunity. You might not make it for 3 days. Sif base. Afilu hagadol yelech levaker katan, like we saw in the story of Rabbi Akiva. Even a very important person should visit someone who's not nearly as important. Afilu kama pamin biyom, even many times in a single day. Vafilu ben gilo b'chol hamosif hareze meshubach. It's like the Haggadah, right? We say the Haggadah kol hamar v'hareze meshubach. So the same thing with Bikur Cholim. Uvelvad shelo yatriach lo. Of course, assuming you're not matriach the chola. Sometimes the chola needs some peace and quiet, needs to sleep or rest or be to themselves. But Otherwise, we say Hamar Ba'arezim Meshubach. Aga Yeshomrim. The Sone Yachol Eilech LeBakar Chola. This is what we said. There's some that say an enemy can go, but Velo Nirali, I think that's wrong. Elo Yevakar Chola. Velo Yinachem Avel Shehusono. Likewise, you shouldn't do Nicham Avelim. Obviously, the truth is you shouldn't hate anybody. Shelo Yachashev Shesamach Leedo. So the other fellow will, otherwise, I might think you're happy that I'm sick. Right, you're the eno lo elatzar. It's going to cause him pain. Kain nirali. Okay, sif gimel. Hamavakar sachol lo yoshev agabe amita. The lo agabe kisei. The lo agabe safsal. This is a fascinating halacha. When you visit someone who's sick, don't sit on a chair. Don't sit on a bed. Don't sit on a bench. What do? You sit on the floor. Elamis ate v'yoshev lefanav. Why? Sheshchina lemala meirosho, because the Shechina is above his head. Does anyone ever see this? You visit someone in a hospital sitting on the floor? So that's because of the Rama. Haga, the davka kshachola shochiv al aretz. That's when the chola is laying on the floor. Right? Most of the time, that's not what's going on here. If the chola is on the floor, it's not nice for the visitor to sit on the chair. Well, above him. Shechina is lemala meirosho. But if the if the chol himself is on a bed, so then mutter leishev al kisei v'safsal, then you could sit on a chair or a bench v'cheino, again, then it's no problem. You're not, as it were, standing above the shechina. Ein mevakrin hachola b'shalosh shosh rishono shel yom. You shouldn't do bikur cholim the first 3 hours of the day. 3 hours, presumably, from sunrise for 3 hours, let's say, yeah. Today, I don't know, sunrise was at 5:30, so from 5:30 to 8:30. Who's going to go at 5:30 anyway? Well, in the winter, let's say, from 7:30 to 10:30. Because people are feeling a little better in the morning. Generally speaking, obviously, it's always true, but oftentimes, the best time of day is in the morning. And you're going to see him in a state, he doesn't look so bad. You're not going to daven hard enough. Because you're going to think, this isn't so bad. The lo b'shal shos achrono shol yom. Don't visit him the 3 end hours of the day. Why? She'az machbid alav chol yom. He's going to mamish look gefer look. He's going to look terrible. V'yisiyash melevakish alav racham. You're also not going to daven. Somebody looks so sick that you feel they're never going to make it. So then, you're also not going to daven. So you have to go in the middle. Now, the post can point out that obviously, if these are the only times a day you could visit, you go to work in the middle of the day, the only chance you're going to be able to visit him is either early in the morning or late at night. So, of course, it's better to visit him then than not to visit him at all. This is in theory. All things being equal, you could pick any time of day and it doesn't make any difference. So then the middle of the day is the best time. But we all know that there are sometimes so many excuses for not actually going and visiting. So if that's the case, better to go any time than not to go at all. And the Rambam adds what we said before, Hagab, v'chol shebikir v'lo bikir shalav rachamim lo kiyim ha-mitzvah. If you do bikir cholim and you don't daven, so you have not fulfilled the mitzvah. In other words, both aspects are necessary. Kishemivankir shalav rachamim, when you're praying for him, if you're in his presence, you could speak in any language. But if you're praying not in his presence, lo yivakesh alav lashon hakodesh, then you should pray in Hebrew. What's this idea? The idea is that when you're in the presence of the choleh, so the melachei hashareis are not needed to help your prayers, because the Shechina is there. But when you're praying alone and not in the presence of the Choleh, so then our prayers need an extra boost, and we should not pray in other languages or perhaps not in Aramaic, which the Malachim don't understand, and therefore we should pray in Hebrew. What do you say? So that's the next sif. Yichlo oso b'sol chole Yisrael. You shouldn't just say you should have refuah shleima, So you should say, you should have a refuah shleima b'soch shar cholei Yisrael. You could say that directly to him, or say it to yourself in his presence. Depends on what you think he would prefer. And the halacha is that you include the chola b'soch shar cholei Yisrael. Why? Rashi and that Gemara explains that shemitoch shekolalu im acherim, when you include him with others, you're not just praying for him or her, but you're praying for all those that are sick. So then your prayers become more powerful. He's part of something bigger. So what do you say? You say, Harak Hamakum Yirachim Alecha B'soch Chole Yisrael. Hashem should have rachamim on you, B'soch Chole Yisrael. If you're in his presence, you don't have to mention his name, obviously. Otherwise, one should mention the actual name. Uveshabbos Omer, Shabbos himalizok urefua krova lava. This is a very interesting halacha. On Shabbos, one can and should do bikur cholim, but you should say Shabbos himalizok. Shabbos is not a time to cry. Verefua krova lava, and the refua should come quickly. In Or Chaim, it mentions you also say veracham of merubav v'shavso l'shalom, which is based off of the Gemara, though the Ramah doesn't think you need to say it. So what does Shabbos Himalizok mean, and why do we say it on Shabbos? So this is a very interesting idea. The idea comes from a Gemara, actually, in Shabbos, and there are a number of opinions what you should do. Beis Shammai actually says you shouldn't even do Bikur Cholim at all on Shabbos. Why not? Because you're going to be mitztaer. Shabbos is a happy time. He says also you shouldn't do Nicham Avelim on Shabbos. If you're going to go do Nicham Avelim on Shabbos, you're going to feel terrible. You do Bikur Cholim on Shabbos, you're going to feel terrible. But we don't follow the view of Beis Shammai, we follow the view of Beis Hillel. Now, even though that's true, the Gemara says, Bekoshi hatiru l'nachim Avelim l'vakur cholim b'Shabbos. Why? So Rabbeinu Chananel says, "Dechayshin and Shem Yivakish al Avrachamim, b'tzara uvitzaka." What does that mean? That we're afraid that you'll start crying out to Hashem to have mercy on this person during the week. That's a fine thing to do, but on Shabbos, generally speaking, one does not cry out to Hashem. There's a bigger discussion beyond the scope of tonight's shiur about whether you're allowed to even make bakashos at all on Shabbos. The Yerushalmi implies that you shouldn't make bakashos on Shabbos, except those that are part of the regular nusach that you're used to saying. There's a debate whether the Bavli agrees to this or disagrees to this. But even if we assume that you are allowed to pray, but you're not allowed to cry out. You're not allowed to be sad, because Shabbos is a time of happiness. And therefore, we say Shabbos himalizok, ufur krova lava. What does that mean? We say that a reminder to ourselves that because it's Shabbos, we shouldn't go too far. We shouldn't start screaming and crying, though it's still okay to pray for him. That's seemingly the halacha that we accept. There's a different explanation by some of the Rishonim, actually. The Ran says that what does it mean? Shabbos himalizok. So the Ran says, Eino yachol levakish rachamim achshav shal yidei ken yoror bechav yitztar. Ela omer lehem divrei tanchumin shelo yitztaru. You actually can't daven at all on Shabbos. That's what Shabbos himalizok means. Shabbos himalizok means we can't pray at all on Shabbos for the chola. Because the Ran thinks we follow the view of the Yerushalmi, and the Yerushalmi says, Aser l'tvoat zrachav b'Shabbos. However, we don't seem to have that understanding of Shabbos himalizok. How do I know? Because when do we say Shabbos himalizok? Exactly. We say it in the Mishaberach. Now, clearly, that's a tefillah. That's a bakasha. So it seems that we accept that it is okay to pray for the chol on Shabbos, as long as we're not zoic, as long as we don't cry out. There might also be a difference whether the chol is really in a critical situation versus a stable situation. But that's what you should do. So when you visit the chol on Shabbos, you say, Shabbos simen lizok. And likewise, when you do nicham aveilim on Shabbos, you also say a similar thing. You say, Shabbos simen linachem. You shouldn't have a, not to say you shouldn't have a nicham on Shabbos. Because it's Shabbos, we have to be careful. We can't do the normal nicham aveilim. So you don't say, if you do nicham aveilim on Shabbos, hamakri minachem eschem, b'soch Shabbos yon, Yerushalayim, rather you say Shabbos Yimel Inachem. But you can't do Nicham Avelim, you can't do Bikur Chol on Shabbos. Now, the Magen Avraham says, some people, they go ahead and they only do Bikur Chol and Nicham Avelim on Shabbos. That's not right. They figure, you know, they're so busy during the week, so they'll do Nicham Avelim and Bikur Chol, they'll just save it for Shabbos anyway, you know, they don't have to go to work. But the Magen Avraham says that's not right. First of all, you shouldn't delay. But more importantly, like we said, Bekoshi Yitiru, really, you shouldn't do Bikur Cholim and Nicham Aveilim on Shabbos because it makes you sad. So we let you do it. Why do we let you do it? Because we want you to help the other people feel better. But if you dafka do it on Shabbos, that's not right. You should also do it on Shabbos, but you shouldn't dafka do it on Shabbos. Yeah?
Is there a reason why the Lashonos are so similar between Bikur Cholim and...
Well, like we said, they're very similar ideas. One, they're both helping a person. One case he's physically sick, in another case he's emotionally sick. But they're very similar ideas. Okay. We'll skip to Sif Tes. Mevakrim chole gayim nifnei darkei shalom. So one visits Jewish patients as well as non-Jewish patients. I always find that when you're doing Bikur Cholim, you should always visit the other person in the room. Usually there's two patients in the hospital room, not always. So obviously you're going to spend most of your time with your friend, but it's always nice, whoever it is next door, you know, at least if they're awake, to stop by for a minute, say how you doing, you know, schmooze for a minute or two, do a little bigger holem for them also, and the like. So we don't just the mitzvah of bigger holem is not limited to Jewish patients. Sif Yud has a very interesting halacha. I'll read you not from the Shulchan Aruch first, but what the Rama writes in the Darkei Moshe, and I think it's interesting because it's a halacha that one might have thought, especially if you're from a more literature background, is a halacha that's a Hasidisha halacha or something like that. But this is from the Rama, from the Nimuke Yosef, from a Gemara in Bava Basra. It says over there, Darsh Rabbi Pinchas, call me Shiyesh L'chol B'soch Beiso, someone who has a sick person in their house. They should go to a chacham and ask them to daven. Shenemar chamas melech malachei maves v'ish chacham yechpirena u'minag zeh b'tzarfa shekom yishis l'chol b'sof beis. Okay. Mivakish p'nei harav hatofis yeshiva shivarach oso. In France, they used to go to the Rosh Yeshiva, ask them to pray. And that's the halacha. Stama huadin tzaddik or a tzaddikas. Point is that we understand, obviously, in a certain sense, the most important person to be mispal is the chola. And like we've seen, anyone's prayers are effective. But the tefilos of a tzaddik or a tzaddikas is particularly powerful. And therefore, when a person does have a chola b'soch beiso, so then it's appropriate to go to a tzaddik or a tzaddikas to ask them to daven. And then the Rama also mentions, v'chein nahagu levarech cholim beveis haknesses. We have a minhag to be mevarech cholim in the beis haknesses. So I thought that originally that's like the mishaberech we say at the shul, which is a nice thing as well. But then I saw in Rishonim, they actually have a different nusach, a certain bracha that was said in the shul for cholim. This is not something that I've heard actually be said in shul, but you have a very similar thing, and maybe this is what it means anyway, in the in many siddurim or sifrei tehillim, a special tefillah that you say for the chola. I'll read you from the Orchos Chaim, which is from a Rishon. This is what you say: Hashem Elokei Elokim, Badunei Adonim, Oshel Be'al Yonim, V'Tachtonim, Hanosim Le'ev Koach, V'Le'en Onim, Zechor Lanu Hayom, V'Chol Yom, Bris Avicha, Avir Rishonim, V'Bris Yid Gimel Mido, Shel Rachamim, V'Tachanunim, Haksuvos B'Sar Asach, Le'idei Sir Emunim, and it goes on and says a whole tefillah that's said for Cholim. So there are many beautiful tefillos to say for cholim, but of course, as we've seen throughout the siman, there's no special nusach that's needed. The ikar is tefillah min halev. Okay. Now, one of the questions that the contemporary poskim talk about is bikur cholim via the telephone. Is that a mitzvah? So, l'chora, it's obvious that this is not the ideal way with respect to all the aspects of bichur cholim that we mentioned before. In terms of caring for their physical needs, so obviously you'll be limited if you speak on the phone. Could be that they really need something, but you'll call them on the phone and they say, is there anything you need? And they'll say, no. And if you were there, you would see that there are things that you could help them with. In terms of davening, like we said, so you can daven, but the tefillah shelo befanav, the tefillah not in their presence, is not the same tefillah as the tefillah in their presence. And likewise, like we said, with respect to that aspect of friendship, so it's certainly not the same. Now, it's better than nothing, to be sure. Achronim handles it a mixus mitzvah, or is it just a good thing? But it's obvious that if a person can actually physically be there, so that's preferable. But if you can't, for whatever reason, let's say they're very far away, so that's certainly calling them is much better than nothing, but it's not quite the complete fulfillment or maybe any fulfillment, though it's definitely a good thing to do. Another interesting question, this might not be so practical, but I thought it was a fascinating question, is what about contagious diseases? So, usually if the patient has a contagious disease, the hospital won't even let you go in. But in theory, at least, should you do that, or should you be worried about doing that? We know, of course, that a person has to take care of their health. You can't do dangerous things. So what about visiting somebody who is a contagious disease? So there's a Tshuvas HaRama who says, yeah, don't worry about it. There's no difference whether it's contagious or it's not contagious. The mitzvah of bikur cholim applies anyway, except for rasan. That's a disease. It's something like tsaras. So that's a very fascinating idea. I saw in a contemporary sefer on bikur cholim, and he just quotes this Rama. He says you could visit someone even if the doctors say it's a contagious disease, except if they have rasan. So if you actually look at the Tshuvas HaRama, I don't think that's an accurate portrayal. The Rama did say this idea that you don't have to worry about it, but it seems to me that he felt that there is no such thing as contagious diseases. And the people that are worried about it are just being, you know, overly concerned. Or at least, if they're not, that they're not contagious at all, but, you know, it's if you go ahead and visit and you're careful, you know, you wash your hands afterwards. I don't know if the doctors tell you to wear a mask, so you wear a mask. But it's not something that was understood to be dangerous. But if it is understood to be dangerous, so then it would be inappropriate. And that's why the Rama says, with rasan, whatever exactly that is, so then you shouldn't do it. In other words, one would not endanger themselves to do the mitzvah of bikur cholim. But the Rama felt that it's not dangerous. It's similar to a principle of Shomer Psayim Hashem, that when there's something that people don't really worry about, so you don't have to worry about it also. Hashem will protect you. And the Rama seems to be applying a similar type of principle. A more, perhaps, interesting question is one that relates to this Rama, but it's dealt with, among others, in a very interesting tshuva from the Tzitz Eliezer, the Eliezer Waldenberg, that's how. And he was asked whether a physician can treat someone with a contagious disease. Now, he says, this is a very interesting question. First of all, there's a general halacha whether I can put myself in a suffix sakana to save someone from a vade sakana. What does that mean? Let's say I go ahead and I see someone drowning in a river. So, or I can jump in and try to save them. And I know I'm a better swimmer than them. So, there's a pretty good chance that I'll be able to save their life. Because I'm a strong swimmer, they're a weak swimmer. But there's also a chance that I'll drown as well. Because that's a reasonable risk. So should you do this? So there are three opinions in the Rishonim, actually, about this. It's discussed perhaps in the Yerushalmi and the like. It's a broader topic. One opinion says, yes. Look, if you could, let's say you could certainly save him, even though that means putting your life at risk. So you should. One's a safek, one's a vadai. You should save his life. There's a mitzvah to save his life, even in this case. The other opinion says, no, it's usher. Of course, normally there's a mitzvah to save someone's life if you can. But you're not allowed to put yourself in danger, ever. And that includes to save somebody else's life. And then there's a third opinion that says it's up to you. The story in the Yerushalmi records that Reish Lakish was once told about one of the Chachamim who was kidnapped. And they, you know, some of the other Chachamim said, oh gosh, these people, he's like as good as dead. And Reish Lakish, remember Reish Lakish's background, right? He was once a bandit himself. So he said, I'm going in there to kill or to be killed. And of course he went in there and he saved them. And then the Gemara tells a whole interesting story how after he told the bandits, you should go to Rabbi Yochanan, he's a big tzaddik, and ask him to give you a bracha. And they went with him to Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan said, whatever you had in mind to do to this guy should happen to you, and then they died. And anyway, it's a whole interesting story. But those are the three opinions. Chayav, Aser, and Rishus. And this comes up in all sorts of very interesting questions. Obviously, the rate of sakana is a factor. Questions like kidney donations and firefighters and all sorts of things. So anyway, the question addressed to the Tzitz Eliezer was, what's the halacha in terms of a physician? Let's imagine, again, oftentimes physicians can take precautions in order to protect themselves. But let's imagine that they couldn't, at least sufficiently. They couldn't guarantee their own safety. Are they allowed to treat such a patient? So, he writes that even if we were to follow the Machmir view, which is perhaps the mainstream view, that you should not, generally speaking, put yourself in danger to save someone else. But he thinks perhaps in this case it would be different. And he gives a number of very interesting theories. I'll mention three of them. Number one, he writes, "Uvenogei l'rofei ula yesh otam lomar de bichlal atzivui akafel shel virapo yirapei michlal bichlal heter l'rofei gam al kigon dam." Very interesting theory. that included in the mitzvah, the idea, we know there's a mitzvah, or the Gemara, I should say, a mitzvah, we'll take one step back. The Gemara says, V'rapo yirapeh, mikan shenitan reshus l'rofe l'rapos. Permission is granted for a doctor to heal. Why do you need permission to be granted? Obviously a doctor should heal. Answer is that you might have thought that it's inappropriate on theological grounds. If God wanted this person to be sick, so who am I to contravene the divine will and try to cure the person? So the answer is, no, it's wrong. Permission is granted for the doctor to heal. And once permission is granted, then there's a mitzvah to heal. If he heals the person, so the Gemara says that v'hashevosolo, if there's a mitzvah v'hashevos aveda on your mama, on your property, certainly there's a mitzvah v'hashevos aveda on your life. So there's a mitzvah to save the person, and if someone's capable of saving and he doesn't, he's in violation of the Yisur of Losamad al Dam Re'acha. Do not stand idly by the blood of your neighbor. So there's a mitzvah to do Bikur Cholim, and the Tzitz Eliezer thinks maybe this mitzvah, the formulation, perhaps the double language of Irapo Yirape, teaches me that even in this case, where there's a danger to the physician because it's a contagious disease, still it's mutter and perhaps a mitzvah. The second thing is, he says, for societal reasons, it's important. If you had a situation where, let's say there was a disease, and it was understood that patients with this disease would not be treated. They would just be left to die because it's too dangerous for the doctors to treat them. So there would be a panic, and it would be horrible. And therefore, is a very interesting idea that sometimes for societal reasons, we go ahead and we permit people to endanger themselves. This might relate to a very interesting idea, the next point as well, where we go ahead and we have all sorts of jobs where basically these professionals are, or even if they're volunteers, but these designated people are putting themselves in harm's way for the good of society. Police officers, firemen, things like that. So if you're a police officer, obviously you try to stay safe. And obviously, sometimes you will take precautions. You won't be reckless. But that's basically what you're doing. You're doing a job where you are going to be putting yourself into safek sakana for the good of society. And if we didn't have that, if people didn't feel like, you know, if there's a burglar that might come to their house, that they could call the cops, because the cops will say, well, we're not going here. That's too dangerous. So that would lead to a breakdown of society. And he says a similar thing could be said about doctors. Similar thing could be said about doctors. And then he has another theory. He says perhaps, since it's Latzorach Parnasa, it would be different. What does he mean by that? So this is a very interesting theory. It's based off of the Gemara in Bava Metzia. The Gemara in Bava Metzia says, Mipnei ma ala ze bekevesh v'nitla be'ilan u'masaris atzma u'lemisa lo oscharo. So the context of this is the pasuk that tells us how important it is to pay one's workers on time. And the pasuk implies, as understood by the Gemara, that this worker is putting his life on the line for you. If you have someone who's an apple picker, or a window washer, or the like. So the apple picker climbs to the top of the tree to get apples, and he's endangering himself. And many poskim say, you see from this Gemara, that for Tzorach Parnasa, a higher level of risk is allowed. Now, that doesn't mean you could be reckless, but there are certain professions, whether it's apple pickers or, in the olden days, people that were sailors or the like, where there are risks. Now, what level is justified is an interesting question, and the post can discuss this. There's a very fascinating Aruch Lener, but the Pashup Shad is it doesn't mean that you could do anything, but a certain higher level of risk is okay. Rav Moshe has a tshuva about a professional sports player, and he says that certain sports might be inappropriate for recreation, but okay for profession. Why? Because one of the things that we always consider when we have the question whether a certain thing is permitted or prohibited because it's dangerous, we don't just have a certain threshold, a certain percentage, but we go ahead and we ask, what's the benefit? And we do a cost-benefit analysis. So if somebody wants to know if it's mutter to go skiing, or mutter to go bungee diving, or mutter to go skydiving, or whatever it is. So one question is obviously, you know, what are the chances? And people will say, well, you know, in the last 10 years there were 17 million people who did this, and only 47 died, and whatever. That's okay. I don't know what that means exactly in terms of numbers. But let's say you went ahead and you saw this particular activity had a certain mortality rate. And then you said, well, you know, driving a car also has that same mortality rate. So if you're going to permit driving a car, so then you should permit this as well. The answer is it's not necessarily the case, because driving a car or driving in a car is part of normal functioning. And a person would not be able to function normally and live a normal life if they never went in a car or they never crossed a street. But whatever activity we're talking about, bungee diving or scuba diving or who knows what, so this is not something that you really need to do. I know that sometimes people feel that that might be the case. They can't manage without skiing. Again, I'm not commenting on skiing per se, but you can't just say, well, this is something that is the same level of risk as driving. It's not true, because you don't need to go skiing. There are other ways to have an enjoyable winter vacation. And that being the case, when we assess these questions, we consider a number of factors, and one of them is the risk-reward ratio. Somebody whose job it is to do something that is a slightly elevated risk. So we might tell them, if it's your job, it's mutter, even though you're just doing it for fun, we should avoid it. She says the same thing. Doctors are professionals, and therefore, the acceptable risk that we will allow for a professional might be higher than normal. But he concludes, even though he thinks it's mutter and a mitzvah to do this, when a doctor goes ahead and treats such a patient, he should begin with a special tefillah to Hashem for rachamim, in addition to whatever normal tefillos he has, and that this not be considered the wrong thing to do, and Hashem should save the person and help the person. So these are some of the halachos of Bikur Cholim. There should be no more cholim. Yeah.
You touched on it before a little bit, but what's considered the chola? Like, if I'm davening at Shmona Esrei, like, who should I be davening for? Like,
it's an interesting question. You could always daven for anybody, including yourself, for even small things if you like. You have a cold, I believe. There are some sources that might indicate otherwise, but I think the mainstream view, and I very much believe this, is that if you have a cold and you're feeling lousy, it's 100%. If somebody's going to do it, has a cold, and they're going to take medicine, right? They're going to do a shtadlus. They're going to take Dayquil. So if they're going to do a shtadlus, what kind of ridiculous thing is it to think that you'll do your shtadlus but not daven, right? Davening is the most important to shtadlus. So if you're going to do a shtadlus by taking a pill, even if it's only a cold, so you should certainly daven for yourself and for others.
Like
now, there's another point, which is I think that the way we daven for a chola in Refa'inu, where we say, B'soch Shar Chola Yisrael, like we saw in the Shulchan Aruch before, that means they're really sick. So someone has a minor cold, you're a good friend, so you don't say, Refua Shalema to Ploni, Bas Ploni, B'soch Shar Chola Yisrael, when she has a cold. You could daven for her, give her a bracha and the like. But I think when we daven the way we're supposed to daven for a chola, when you're kolo them b'soch shar chola Yisrael, if they're not really a chola, they just have a little cold, so that would be inappropriate. That's exaggerating it, and that's calling them a chola when they're not a chola. In fact, we mentioned in that first halacha in Sefalif, I didn't get to the reason why, but the first halacha is that people that aren't so close don't visit immediately. So the Taz says, why is that? Why wait? So Kihechi de lo lisra mazle lahatil alav shem chola. We don't want to call this guy a chola if it's not really a chola. So if somebody goes ahead and has a cold, you shouldn't put them on the cholim list to say Mishab Merech and Chul for B'soch Shar Choli Yisrael. No, like, that's inappropriate. But there's certainly nothing wrong with saying feel better and davening for them to feel better, just like you could daven for yourself to feel better if you have a cold. So definitely it's a wonderful thing to daven for yourself, for others, but don't call them a chola unless they're really a chola.
So for Bikur Cholim,
same thing. You don't have to call it Bikur Cholim. Visiting a friend who needs a visit is a big mitzvah. Whether it's Bikur Cholim or they're not a chola, but they're down, and having their friend visit them, so that's a very big mitzvah as well. So you don't have to call it Bikur Cholim, but it's a similar idea to Bikur Cholim. So it's not really a nafka mina. So what's your question? L'may nafka mina. You could definitely daven for them. We didn't even talk about cholim that you shouldn't daven for. We'll talk about that another time. But I would think a chronic condition, again, I don't know what you're referring to, that like you said, that prevents them from functioning, that, you know, normally would be considered a chola, and it's okay to daven for them as a chola.
Also, just
right, then you shouldn't visit them. I didn't read that halach in the Shulchan Aruch, but it describes certain types of conditions in the Shulchan Aruch where you shouldn't visit them. Sometimes they might not like it. They might be embarrassed. They might be in a bad state, whatever it is. It says you go and you stand outside and you daven for them and you try to find out if there's a way to help them. But it's obvious that if visiting them is going to make them feel worse, you should visit them. Now, sometimes it's hard to know. Sometimes you'll call up a chola and they'll say, don't come visit me. Don't bother. What do you need to bother with that for? I'm okay. And the truth is that if you actually went and visited them, they would feel very good, whether they'd admit it or not. So, can't always take a person's word for it, but certainly if in your assessment you're going to make them feel worse and not better, then there's no mitzvah to visit them. Okay. Have a good night, everyone.